Well, aloha. Oh, man, it is, first of all, it is so great for us to be here. We have been gone for over 2 years. I know, which seems like a long, long time. And it's been a... Oh, I thought, I see. Thank you, Steve. That was a trick, wasn't it? The old trick music stand, yes. So we've been gone for two years this past May. We left, and we've thought about you guys often. At different times, we have missed Atlanta deeply. Every 4th of July, I hear about the Peachtree Road Race, and I almost weep because that was like my favorite thing to do every year. And then we'll see you guys on Facebook, and it's just so, obviously you have a deep place in our hearts, and we've really missed you guys. We have not missed the traffic. The only time you have traffic problems where we live is when all seven cars get out on the road at the same time. So we have not missed that, but we will always have just a warm heart place in our hearts for Atlanta. We lived here for almost 20 years, and to come back tonight. And when we were driving around, I told Christy, I said, I'm feeling very sentimental, you know, driving around because I'm seeing places I used to go to all the time. And then we got to see some of you through the day today. And just had a great, great hour this afternoon with Chloe, which was so inspiring to me and Christy. And I'm going to talk a little bit about her in just a little bit. But it's just so great to see you guys and to see how the church is doing. And we hear awesome things here that y'all are just doing really well. And things are going well, and so that's exciting. So I did ask if I could speak tonight. If you have a problem with that, talk with the elders. You can say, what were you thinking? But I did want to share what's been going on in our lives in the last couple of years, but also to share some lessons that we have learned by living in Hawaii, and just share, give you some pictures of what our life is like over there. So you know, I wear an aloha shirt to preach in every Sunday morning. This is one of my more sedate ones that I wear. I tempered it down tonight just for you. So we came here to visit you guys, but we're headed to Oak Ridge, Tennessee, my hometown, and I'm going to my 50th year high school class reunion. That's something. Yeah. I'm going to be with a bunch of old people who have shrunk. So I went, we went to one 5 years ago, and all these girls that I went to high school with who were just taller than me have all shrunk. And I was like a giant among people up there. So yeah, so we're going back for this. I'm going to get to see my brother and do some other things. So we've been planning on this for a while. But it's so great to come through here and to be with you guys tonight. So before we begin, let's pray. Holy Father, thank you so much for God, for arranging our days, arranging our lives. Father, thank you for arranging the places where we live. Thank you, Lord, for arranging people who come into our lives, people who will and maybe have been our friends for years since we became Christians, people who we will worship with and one day possibly pass away with and go into heaven together. Father, thank you so much, especially for the people you've put into our lives. Father, thank you for your Son, Jesus. God, I'm so grateful for the way that He rescued us from the dominion of darkness. Father, our lives would just be so different had someone not asked us to study the Bible with them. And yet now our lives, Lord, are so full, so hopeful. Even in dark times, Father, we can look at it through the lens of faith and just be very, very grateful. Father, would you please bless us tonight? Would you please bless the things I have to share? Father, I pray particularly you would bless your word to our hearts. Father, I pray your word would just resound in our hearts. And Lord, would inspire us to do the things that you want us to do. God, we need your direction and your wisdom so much. And Father, we're so grateful that you've given it to us up to this point. Thank you so much that you allowed me and Christy to be here for 20 years. Thank you for all the friends we made. Father, thank you for all the trials, for all the joys. And Father, thank you that we can be reunited again tonight. And Father, we all look forward to the day when we will never be separated again. But we'll be serving you, we'll be loving Jesus, and we'll be together in heaven. And Father, hasten that day, bring it according to your plan. Please bless us now, Lord. We pray that everything we do tonight will honor the name of your Holy Son, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. And so I'm going to read some in a little bit from Joshua chapter 14, starting in verse 6. If you want to just mark that place in your Bibles, Joshua chapter 14 and verse 6. I want to show you a little bit what living on the big island in Hawaii is like for us. What? Down. Oh, because we're going down through the slide presentation. See, Steve is a smart guy. Gotcha. So this is where I know there's a place to point it to. And there is that over on the side? Is there a pointer? Oh, there it is. Yeah. So this is looking from the bay of Hilo, and this is a picture off the internet, obviously. And this is it's not a blurry little town, but this is what's called the sleepy little town of Hilo, Hawaii. It's right here on the bay. In the background is Mauna Kea, which is one of five volcanoes that are on the big island of Hawaii. There's Mauna Kea. Mauna Loa is over this way over here somewhere. Kohala is back up on the side over that way. And then there's another one over in Kona. And then Kilauea, which is the one that recently erupted. So there are five volcanoes, but this is in our background here is Mauna Kea. Up here, you can't see it because of the clouds, but there are seven observatories up there on the top of Mauna Kea. And so on really clear days, you can see the seven observatories that are up there, which is really, really a cool thing to see. Mauna Kea is not a dead volcano. It's not a dead volcano. It's just inactive. If it ever decides to blow, straight to Jesus. There's no escaping Mauna Kea. We escaped Kilauea. Mauna Kea will not be escaped. It's a cool place. This is the harbor of Hilo, and this is a picture I took. And over here is really the edge of the island, and it goes around this way. But this is what a lot of the harbor looks like. You have a lot of these rocks, and there's where this is located, there's just a group of parks that run down a road. And these parks, different parks, are little small parks. They run up beside the ocean. This is what the harbor can look at sometimes when we have large swells. And it actually does look this way. Some people will go down to the harbor and hang out when it does this. I stay in my little house 2 miles up on the hill when it does this because I do not want to be involved. But we can have some pretty challenging times down in the harbor. This is a park that is in downtown Hilo. It's called Queen Liliuokalani Park. Queen Liliuokalani was the last monarch the Hawaiian dynasty. And so the Japanese, to honor her, built a park, the Japanese residents of Hilo did. And this is the second, the largest Japanese park outside of Japan. And it is an absolutely beautiful place. You can tell all the different gazebos that they have built. I don't think they call them gazebos. They call them something else. They're actually fishing these ponds. And people come down here fishing all the time. And anytime we have a big rain or big swells out in the ocean, this place floods over. So it's a gorgeous place. And this is where we walk our dog, Wilbur, in case you want to know that. This is a downtown Hilo. This is a shot from one of the side streets. Of course, it's built right on the bay. And it's a very beautiful place. This is the old Palace Theater. And these are some, Hilo's a very old place. It is, I forgot when exactly it was built. It has been, the buildings used to be right here, but two tsunamis actually destroyed downtown Hilo. And so what they did was, after tsunami number two, they thought, maybe we need to build the buildings further back from the bay. And so they built them all back. And now there's a lot of land between the bay and downtown, so that in case there should be another tsunami, it won't destroy it. Hilo is, Christy and I like to call it the land that time forgot. It is old, and it is like an old town, and people call it Old Hawaii. And so if you want to know what Hawaii was like in the 50s, if you should ever desire that, come to Hilo, because it is Hawaii in the 50s. It's not much has changed. It is a country town. You can move Hilo into North Georgia or East Tennessee, North Alabama, and people would be fine. They would notice the water was gone, and that's just about it, because it's very old and very traditional. I want to tell you some few events that we've had living in Hawaii. This is a big event. This happened on January the 8th. It says emergency alert, ballistic missile threat inbound to Hawaii. Seek immediate shelter. That's a good idea. This is not a drill. And so how many people heard of this? Yeah. So Christy and I were with the disciples, some disciples from our church and from the church in Maui and the church in Honolulu, having our annual meeting. And we were in downtown Honolulu at the Ala Moana Hotel, which is an old motel, beautiful place in downtown Honolulu. And we're all standing around waiting for our Starbucks coffee to be delivered right before we went up the hotel into our meeting room. And this flashed across all the phones. And, of course, immediately people were going, is this some kind of a joke? And then there was nothing said, and people thought it is not a joke. And so for 42 minutes, we were in a hotel really believing that we were about to be destroyed. If you remember that time, North Korea and the United States were having some difficulties, and the president of North Korea had threatened to unleash a ballistic attack against us if necessary. And so we really thought this was real. So we were on the phone calling our children, telling them how much we loved them. Different people in the hotel were crying, calling their children. You heard all these moms saying, be sure and tell your brother I love him, and that, me and your dad love you, and, you know, don't worry about us. And that was going on for about 40 minutes. After about 40 minutes, when they realized it was not for real, then they started getting messages that it was just a fake, that it was had been a mistake. I'm pretty sure the guy who hit the button that said this is working somewhere in Alaska now. I'm very confident he no longer has a job in Hawaii. But it was really a scary time, but it was a good time because it made you realize what matters most. No one was calling the bank. No one was calling, you know, checking on their house. People were on the phone with other people. And I really believed for about 40 minutes that was our last day on earth, as many of us did. But fortunately, it was not at this, you know, by the grace of God. But at the same time, it made you realize, you know, life is short. you know, take it seriously. This is the second big event. This is a lava flow from fissure number 8, which is right here. There were 20-something fissures on May the 4th, Mount Kilauea, which is an active volcano. Hawaii has a park called Volcanoes National Park. Has anybody been to Volcanoes National Park before? I think a few people have. There's an active volcano there, Kilauea, and you can actually look down on Kilauea and see lava spewing out. And so on May the 4th, it erupted. And what happened is that the floor of the volcano dropped. Lava started hitting the ocean, the water underneath. It spewed out. The walls started dropping down, and the lava had to go someplace. So it went flowing down what's called a rift, and it went into all these 20-something fissures that are just kind of weak spots in the ground, and it all spewed up. And so it exploded and went down here. And this was in a place called Leilani Estates. Leilani Estates had about, I don't know how many thousand people living down there. 2,000 of them lost their homes. 700 houses were destroyed. And this went on for approximately 3 months. This went down into the ocean here. Kind of see the edge of it here, and it formed another 3-square-mile piece of island, which is down there now. And after 3 months, it stopped. And so there were some other things that people, this is what it looked like. You guys get a pretty good view of that. This is a real deal. There's going down through people's yards and so forth. This is the car that it ate. This was kind of like, did anybody see the video? On Facebook, this is a big video that was popular about when the lava eats the car video. And it actually did eat this car. And so that was kind of, you know, necessarily a very intense time. On May the 5th, which was the day after the volcano erupted, we had 2 earthquakes in Hawaii that were 2 hours apart. We had one that was a 5.5, which was rattling the house, but a little nerve-wracking. And then 2 hours later, we had one hit that was a 6.9, which is the largest earthquake they've had in Hawaii since the 1970s. And it was very scary. Our house rolled, and Christy was at the grocery store, and, you know, things were rattling on the shelves, and I was in the house. Me and Wilbur were together, and I was crying. I was running outside in the yard screaming, "We're all going to die, we're all going to die." But it was like, it was very scary. And it was just, you know, it's like, what is going to happen next? And the earthquake stopped in Hilo, but up near Volcanoes National Park, where the Kilauea volcano was still erupting and pieces of the volcano were actually sliding down around the edges, they had 80,000 earthquakes of one size or another for 3 straight months. And so we've had a lot of people in Hawaii who have moved. They've moved back to the mainland. We have a lot of people there who had to go through counseling who are very nervous still anytime anything happens. And so what's been awesome about that, though, is you think, well, what's the good news about that? Is that people are beginning to have realized, you know, life is short. You know, terrible things can happen very quickly. And people still, you still don't know if these volcanoes are going to erupt again. So it's been great for us because we've been having great, lots of spiritual conversations with people about it. This was, good things do go on Hilo. Just hang in there. This was Hurricane Lane. This was Hurricane Lane. It hit like last month. It dropped 50 inches of rain in basically, on the average, in 3 days. 50 inches of rain in 3 days. It was the largest deluge that Hilo, that part of the island's ever had before. Nothing like this has ever happened. And so this was literally parts of downtown Hilo were totally underwater. This was a scene that was on television a lot. These are soccer fields. And so over here's the bay. This is where it came in out of the bay. And this was where the water that was coming down. You remember the first scene from Mauna Kea? Was raining and it was pouring down off of Mauna Kea coming down into Hilo. And it did that 50 inches of rain. And so what he created was basically some rivers that ran through. And these rivers were very dangerous to get out in. These people are really standing way too close to be there. They warn people, don't go near it. But it was very, again, very serious time. And so people are wondering, you know, what is going to happen next? You know, we've had a volcanic eruption. We've had an earthquake. We've had flooding. You know, we've had a hurricane. You know, what can possibly happen next? And so that was all the big adventures we've been on, and that was only through August. We don't know what's going to happen October, November, December. Who knows? So this is church. Yeah. We've got a few people missing. We're not there this day, but this is the Big Island Church of Christ. Let me show you. We'll go back. We'll talk about the girls in a second. These are the Oskins. The Oskins live outside of a little town called Waimea. Kona, you guys have heard of Kona? Kona's on the western side. They live fairly close to Kona, about 30 miles away. These are the Parises. They live near the Oskins. This couple was Mel's, I believe Sherry's cousin, this guy right here, and he passed away. This is the Oskins' Paris' daughter, Michaela. This is Fred Camaro, Fred and Allison, their daughter Malia. This guy is a visitor. We asked to leave because he looked odd. This is Mel's dog back here, in case you want to know that. This is Colby, Mel's son. This is Cleo Moda. This is his house here. We have used his house once a month for worship services. This is Matthew Malaka. He's our oldest brother. He's a 74-year-old single brother, and he's a great guy. This is Bob and Trisha Schalk and their son Owen. That's his head. And we're studying the Bible right now, Bob and Trisha. We've been studying the Bible with them about 4 months, and they're awesome people. This is John Mendoza and his daughter Danielle. Natalie, rather. His wife Danielle was not there that day. This is this year's Randall and Heather Aretta. Randall and Heather basically led the church for 10 years. Randall works for UPS. Heather works as a social service administrator for the school system in Hilo. And Heather and Randall basically led the church for 10 years. And the church is very grateful for them. They did that strictly on their own. And they have been, they're real heroes to the church, to us in Hilo, to the Big Island. This is Christy right here. I'm not sure who that is. That's Yvonne, I think. No, I don't know who that is. Christy? She's probably asleep back there. She's, I seen this dude. This doesn't interest me. And this is an older lady, and then her Lynette. And Miley, they worship with us quite a bit as well. So this is, we have about 4 or 5 people missing on that Sunday. So these are our 5 of our girls. We have, I believe it is 6, 7 teenage girls. And we didn't have any teenage boys until just recently. We had one who didn't come, so we didn't count him. But we did have our girls, and all of our girls went to the LA camp this year. So they had fundraisers. It cost quite a bit of money. They raised money. They prayed. We raised more money. We prayed more. The church threw in a lot of money. And so they were all able to go to the L.A. camp, which was really, really cool. This is Hoku and Natalie and Yvonne and Michaela and Malia. Michaela and Malia are cousins. And so they went to the L.A. camp this year. At a place called Temecula, Murrieta. You guys from California might know where that is. The L.A. camp is not like the swamp, by the way. The L.A. camp is held at this real posh resort. And so the girls liked it because when they would go and have breakfast and lunch, that they would have waiters wait on them. And they talked about being in these camp conditions. And we're like, that is not camp. That is... as Camp Hilton, Camp Waldorf Astoria. And Hoku, when she went back home, asked her mom if she would serve her breakfast that way every day. Hoka's not the brightest child in the in church. But anyway, Hoku and Natalie went 2 years in a row, and these girls went the first time. They really, really love camp. LA camp is an awesome time. They go with all the disciples out on the West Coast. It's a great time. Of course, I know everybody wants to see a picture of Wilbur. Wilbur's living large on the island. He's looking good. He likes living there. It's a great place. And this is another part of the bay here. And this is our house. Yeah, this is where we live. And we have two solar panels that run our hot water. Yeah, that's how we get hot water, from solar panels. We have no heat and we have no air conditioning. We don't have that in Hilo. And so everything's, it's pretty cool, pretty nice place to live. Anybody like lychee trees? Anybody like lychee? No lychee, lychee? You guys know what a lychee is? Yeah, this is a lychee tree in our backyard. Yeah, and it blooms every year. It is a gold mine, dude. We could sell that lychee. I would, but Christy won't let us. And we can make a fortune. People pay big amounts of money for lychee. It's a kind of fruit. And so we have a big one of those in our backyard. And so that's kind of our little place. Let's see how we're doing on time. Yeah, quickly. Want to teach. And this is, Christy took this one morning. Isn't that cool? We see rainbows a lot in Hawaii. That's why they call it rainbow stick. So Hawaiian words. I'm going to teach some Hawaiian words. Ready? Here they are. Aloha means hello and goodbye. All right. Mahalo means thank you. Ohana is family. So it stands for family. Keiki are children. So if you have one child or 100 children, they say, how many keiki do you have? And you say, well, I got 5 keiki. It's all the same word. It's not keikis. I called them keikis for a while. And they almost asked me to leave the island. Yeah. So this is a good one for me to learn. Kapuna. Older person or ancestor. Yeah, so Christian, I am a kapuna. I play in a kapuna softball league. That's a softball league for old men. And it can also mean ancestor. A couple other words that referred to a lot. I'm called uncle, and Christy's called auntie. And those are terms of deep respect. And so when you're called uncle or auntie in Hawaii, that's kind of a big deal. Well, it is for the men. The women don't like to be called auntie too soon. They don't like that. But being called uncle or aunties, and so our kids all call us uncle and auntie. And that is a term of deep respect, and we really like that a lot. So, lessons we have learned. So, if you guys can turn the lights back up, I want to share some lessons we have learned being in Hawaii, and I hope these will encourage you. I want to start in Joshua chapter 14, and let's read starting in verse 6. Lights, 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 please. Glenn in charge of the switch. Good job, brother. Okay, Joshua chapter 14, starting verse 6. It says, a delegation from the tribe of Judah, led by Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, came to Joshua at Gilgal. Caleb said to Joshua, that's why I do not like an electronic Bible, because it does not work. Here we go, let's try it this way. Will that work? It doesn't matter. My Bible doesn't work. Never be without your cell phone for one reason or another. Oops, hold on. Everybody there? Except for you, Gary. Everybody's there. All right. Now the people of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my fellow Israelites who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt in fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day Moses swore to me, the land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance, and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old. I'm still strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go to the battle now as I was then. Now give me the hill country that the Lord promised me. You have heard yourself that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said. So from that verse, talking about Caleb, I want to share with you some lessons, quick lessons we learned. Lesson number one, these are metaphorical, of course. Eat at Chick-fil-A whenever you can. Eat at Chick-fil-A whenever you can. So why do you say that? Because we have no Chick-fil-A's in all of Hawaii. I know, I don't think it's a state. We don't have one Chick-fil-A. They're going to put one in Honolulu next year. But what it made us realize, we kind of joke, we joke about it a lot. We're going to eat at Chick-fil-A every day while we're here this week. What it made it realize is, you know, sometimes things you really, really want and you really enjoy, they're not around anymore. So enjoy what you have. Amen. Love what you have. Love where you live. Love your spouse. Amen. Love your children. Amen. Enjoy, hold on parents, your teenage children. I know you want to kill them. Do not do that. Love them. And one thing Caleb says here, he's talking about, when he's talking about all the stuff that happened, he says it was a fond memory to him. All that happened was a fond memory to him. And today was going to be a fond memory to him. Because I think Caleb had another spirit, the Bible says. And he when everybody else turned against God, him and Joshua said, no, we're going to do what God said. And I think it's because he appreciated God. He appreciated God. Listen, enjoy Chick-fil-A while you can. Appreciate what you have. Enjoy it. Love it. Say, I don't get to live in Hawaii. Well, you get to live in Atlanta, Georgia. A lot of people who live in Indonesia on that little island would love to live in Atlanta, Georgia, in your apartment tonight. They would love it. They would die for it. Love where you live. Love your family. Love the job you have. If you need to get a new job, get a new job. But appreciate so much the job you have. I think that's one thing Christy and I have learned, that we're gonna love where we are. We love living over there. We love living here. But love where you are. Enjoy where God has placed you. You know, is it Psalm 16 where it says that God set pleasant boundaries for me? Yeah. You're here because this is where God wants you to be. You're who you are because of who God wanted you to be. I was speaking over to the Wahoo Church one day, talking to a bunch of men, and I said, I was talking about this, and because of all the things going on in America, and I want you to listen to this and listen to what I'm saying, because I think it's the truth. I am not ashamed of being a male. I'm not ashamed of being white. And I'm not being ashamed of growing up in the South. Because God in His made my genes male genes. God made my genes white genes. And by the grace of God, I was born in the South. Amen? But don't be ashamed of who you are. Don't be ashamed of being African American. Don't be ashamed of being Asian. Don't be ashamed of being Hispanic. Nothing to be ashamed of, because you are who you are because God made you that way. Enjoy Chick-fil-A when you can. Number two, paradise is always beautiful, but it's not always pretty. Paradise is always beautiful, but it's not always pretty. Listen what Caleb says here. Thought this was pretty cool. He's going to go to this battle. He's all excited. He's all jacked up. He says, you know, I can fight today. I'm 85 years old. I'm still as strong today as I was. He was not, but he's all excited about it. You know. But notice what he says in verse 12. He says, now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard that the Anakites were there, and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out of this land. Caleb really wanted the land that had been assigned to him, but he realized the giants were there. He wasn't stupid. He realized the giants were still there. And I think what one thing we learned in Hawaii is Hawaii is a very beautiful place. Anthony Galang, who's an evangelist over in Honolulu, he is convinced that before we all go to heaven, everyone's going to be routed through Hawaii, and then you go up to heaven there. Because God wants you to get a taste of heaven first by going to Hawaii first. See, he's convinced of that. And it is a beautiful place. And there's waterfalls, and there's the ocean, and it's awesome living there. People for a while thought what we did there is that we sat down on the beach in lounge chairs drinking Mai Tais, and people came and wanted to study the Bible with us. That's not what happened. That's not what happened. It's beautiful. And God made, I think it's the most beautiful place I've ever seen in my life. But there's a lot of things going on underneath that we've discovered that are not pretty. Hawaii has one of the worst homeless rates in America. It has the island we're on, this county we're in, Hawaii County. There are five counties in Hawaii. We're in Hawaii County. It has the highest homeless rate of senior citizens in the entire United States. We have one of the highest teenage pregnancy rates in all of America. The suicide rate in Hawaii is one of the worst in all of America. The suicide rate of young people. We just had a friend who lost his nephew because of a suicide rate. And when he committed suicide, he had another friend that committed suicide too, because his friend was not going to be around anymore. And two others tried but were stopped. There's this undercurrent that's in every society where it looks good. And we can sometimes get so glamorized by things that we think our neighbors are great. And they're not. They're aching. They're hurting. And they want someone to come to them and say, I have a method of rescue for you. You know, so don't love where you live. And if it's beautiful, that's awesome. But don't forget those people around you, no matter how cool they look. No matter how together they appear to be, there's stuff going inside behind their doors that are terrible. And we need to reach out to them. And we don't need to be glamorized by stuff. Not saying we have to have this really, you know, terrible attitude, but we don't need to, don't fall for it. Don't fall for it. We are going to have a campus ministry at the University of Hawaii at Hilo. We're going to have one. We're trying to get the funds together now. One night we had seven college-age students come to our midweek Bible study. And after they walked out the door, I sat down in my rocking chair, stunned. And Christy walked in. I said, what are we going to do? She said, we have got to get a campus minister. I said, amen, you're right. And that's what we're going to do, God willing. And we're doing that because our students may go to this beautiful campus and may look a certain way, but they are hurting. We've had two students come to our house, and they're just desperate for love and attention that they never got at home. Desperate. So paradise is always beautiful, but it's not always pretty. So it doesn't mean you look at things with a jaded eye, but just look at them again. Look at your neighbors again. You know, one morning, I was back in my office studying, you know, had my quiet time, and I heard one of our neighbors, and she was just cursing out her little 12-year-old daughter. Beep, you beeping this, you beeping that. Any the nastiest words you could think of, just letting her have it. And then they calmly got in their car and took her off to school. And my heart broke for that little girl. But my heart also breaks for my next-door neighbor who was saying those things. You know, I want her and her husband to come to church with me. So realize, always beautiful but not always pretty. Number three, cancel your trip on the Royal Caribbean and sign up for the Black Pearl. Now, what in the world do you mean by that? Go back to Joshua chapter 14. I want to talk to those of us who have been around for a while. I want you to listen. Verse 10, it says, "Now then, just as the Lord promised, He has kept me alive for 45 years since the time He said this to Moses while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old, 45 years later. I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me the hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourselves heard from that the Anakites were there. Their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out of the land." So, Caleb did not ever believe, that he was too old to make a difference. I know in the history of our churches, we have believed, and to some degree true, that youth is critical. And I believe that. I believe we need to have vibrant campus ministries. I believe we need to have vibrant teen and family ministries. I believe we need to have vibrant middle schools. I believe all that. I hope camp gets so big they have to build more buildings. I believe that with all my heart. And I believe we need more young men and women who want to go into the ministry. I do. But you know what? Sometimes we get thinking that we're too old to do anything. And so what we do is we start planning to book our trip on the Royal Caribbean and retire. Going to take it easy. And what you need to do is you need to cancel that trip and start thinking about getting on the Black Pearl. Everybody know what the Black Pearl is, right? Pirates of the Caribbean? All right, that's the Black Pearl. That is swashbuckling, rollicking times, fighting all the time, constant battle, really getting after it. And that's what some of us who are older, you need to think about doing. You don't need to think about, if you want to retire, that's great. I think you should. But you ought to think about taking your talents, you know, like LeBron James to South Beach. Take your talents somewhere else. Maybe move to a church, to a little bitty church somewhere. That's what we did. Maybe decide that you're going to go somewhere and live for the summer, maybe in Auburn or Knoxville or Clarksville, Tennessee, or go crazy and go to the Carolinas, you know, just go nuts. Maybe get wild and move to Macon, you know. But take your talents. These little churches, they need somebody who is mature. Someone who knows the ropes. Someone who's been through it. And these little churches have these, as we've seen in Hilo, they have these incredible ebb and flows of things going great and then things go awful. And they didn't know what to do. And God has blessed us to come in and to steady the ship. Because when things happen, Christy and I have seen enough that we just don't fall apart. Now, I do, but she doesn't. You know? That we know not to do that. You know not to do that. You've done it. You know how to lead and how to stand up and teach a Bible class. A lot of these little churches don't. They don't have anyone qualified to do that on a week-by-week basis. And I remember one time Doug Jacoby was here and he talked about how he's over in Southeast Asia. And he had been preaching over there to teach his church in at one of his big teaching conferences. And this guy came down from this little tiny church up in the mountains, had been planted 10 years ago. And he said, and Doug was talking to him. And the guy said, "You know, we were planted 10 years ago." He said, "We have not had one visiting preacher there in 10 years. Jacoby canceled his plans and went up there to that little church and taught them. And that inspired me to move to the Big Island. Because there's little churches all over the place that need your expertise. You don't have to move there like we did. You don't have to. You don't have to sell and go. But what you can do is you could go somewhere for 2 weeks in the summer. Or if you're retired, you can move down there for a month and just have your Social Security check forwarded down there. You could. And just tell the minister, we would like to come and live here for a month. Can you help us find a place to live? We'll rent a little apartment, or maybe just we'll live here for a month and just be here for the church. You know how many of these little churches would die for that? They'd kill for it. Because they don't have that. They need it so bad. And I want to encourage you, those of us who are older, you're in your 60s and you're thinking about retirement, would you start thinking that way? Just the service you can give is incredible. It's amazing. You may think, oh, anybody here could do that. You know what? That's true. The church here is loaded with talent. It's incredible. But they don't have you down there. And you can mean so much. When we moved to Hawaii, I went on Disciples Today a few weeks later, and I was looking at this advertisement for the church in Portland, Maine. And they were asking that people in their 60s move to Portland, Maine to live and just retire there. Because they said, we're a young church and we need help. And I don't know who moved there, but I thought, wow, that would be awesome to go do that. Just to move somewhere else. If you can afford it, and go do it. And mean something to these places. Now, don't everybody leave next week. Get some advice. Steve's going, no, don't. Get some advice. But think about it. That's what Caleb did. He said, I'm 85 years old, and I can do this. And you know what? He did it. And God wants that. And God will bless you for that. And I think if we'll just always remember these lessons, let's remember, you know, how much they need us. Let's don't fall for the glamour. Let's remember that there's a lot of stuff going underneath, you know, that we need to help people with. We need to appreciate what we've got. And then maybe let's think about as we get older that we're going to use our talents here, but we're going to think about maybe sharing those talents with another little church somewhere else and help them. And if you can't, you say, I can't do that yet, get a list of them, guys, and pray for them. Pray for the church in Auburn. Pray for the disciples over in Augusta. Pray for the disciples in Macon. Pray for the disciples that meet up in Knoxville, that meet in Chattanooga, that meet in that little church up in Asheville, North Carolina. Pray for those guys. And God will bless you, and He'll bless them. Listen, we love you guys to death. And we're so thankful that we represent the Atlanta Church of Christ in Gwinnett over on the big island of Hawaii. Thank you for listening to me tonight. God bless you all.